folks, I've just been down, down to Memphis town. That's where the people smile, smile on you all the while.
When you hear this music, you may be thinking Louis Armstrong, but maybe you should also be thinking about the man who wrote this song. Legendary composer W.C. Handy, or William Christopher Handy, is recognized as one of the people who helped birth the blues. And this Wednesday, the New York Festival of Song, a celebration of song and songwriter, will honor Handy. This year's concert is titled W.C. Handy and the Birth of the Blues. Elliot Hurwit is a music historian and program consultant for the festival. Elliot, welcome.
Hi.
So get us started, because there are some people saying, oh, great, W.C. Handy, very familiar, others not so much. Tell us more about him.
Well, Handy used to be one of the most famous people in the United States, but memories of cultural figures fade. He was born in Florence, Alabama in 1873, so during the post-Reconstruction era, and got a great primary school musical education, was trained in an old-fashioned singing style, the do-re-mi singing style, by a very good teacher.
What does that mean, do-re-mi?
Well, it means that instead of using fixed scales, C, D, E, F, G, you move the opening pitch around depending on what key or vocal range you're going to sing it in.
Yeah, we know it's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, but what do you mean by...
You just did it.
Oh.
I can't do anything better than that.
Like in Sound of Music.
Exactly.
Okay, so that do, re, mi.
Yep.
But his family wanted him to be more what?
They wanted him to become either a lawyer, a teacher, or a preacher, like his father and grandfather. His grandfather was shot and wounded in a slave escape attempt around the time of the Civil War, and they did not desire for Handy to go into essentially traveling shows, which he ultimately did, traveling all around the country with Mehara's minstrels. And at about the time he quit doing that, blues was beginning to emerge in the Mississippi Delta primarily. We're now fast-forwarding to about 1905. And he would travel around the countryside with his bands and listen to people play folk music. In fact, his band members would ask him, why are you always standing on street corners listening to beggars? And he would have a pencil and a scrap of paper with him, and he would take down ideas. Some of this folk music he heard was what we now call as blues, and it became quite a popular thing, not just in the South initially, but then in New York and Chicago, all over the U.S., and then quickly in England, France, and all over the world.
A couple questions. When you say he was standing on street corners, at one point he was living on them. I mean, wasn't one of his bands shut down and he was somewhat homeless? I'm thinking that might have put him closer to this sound.
Well, it's quite possible. I mean, when he hit the skids in 1893, blues didn't exist yet. Handy took to the road with a vocal quartet in 1893, hoping to at least make a living in the Midwest, and they hit the skids in St. Louis, and Handy ended up alone, sleeping on cobblestones, and was found by a stable hand standing on a bridge, and the guy thought he was going to jump in and kill himself, and he got Handy a job mucking out stalls, and from there he was able to get three square meals a day and buy a decent suit of clothes and a musical instrument. He did this off and on from 1893 to 1896, and he was basically a hobo.
Yeah, which is why he could come up with songs like the Memphis Blues. Let's listen.
That's right.
Self-published in 1912, but here again is that 1954 version with Louis Armstrong and his All-Stars band.
They got a trumpet man leading the band, and folks, he sure blows them horn. And when the clarinet seconds to the trombone's croon, it moans just like a sinner on revival day.
Now, this was also referred to as Mr. Crump. Why is that?
Well, the original version of this was a 1909 campaign song. Ed Crump was a successful businessman in Memphis who decided that the local government was corrupt and tied in with the gamblers and the saloon owners. And he ran a reform ticket on a three-way race and surprisingly beat the better-known guys. Mm-hmm. Andy had written Mr. Crump, and his band traveled around Memphis in a wagon, playing and singing the song, which actually disses Crump for saying, you know, we won't allow any barrel house women around here.
Well, the hits just started coming. This next one is called St. Louis Blues, written in 1914 and performed by Handy's Memphis Blues Band.
What Handy did with this that was so brilliant was he created a sort of three-part song structure. The second section is a tango, which was wildly popular at that time as a dance form. And then the third section is kind of a rapid tempo, rhythmic outro. It was kind of a brilliant idea to have three very strong themes used in a single song, and that minor key thing in the second strain. Nobody else used it until 1920, and there were hundreds of so-called blues written and published in that time period.
I want to listen now to Yellow Dog Blues. It was first called the Yellow Dog Rag. It's 1925, and it's Bessie Smith.
Ever since Miss Susie Johnson lost her jockey leaf, there's been much excitement and motor beat. You can hear moaning, moaning night and morn. She's wondering where
W.C. Handy's status at this point?
In 1925, he was somebody who had written a string of hits, but was kind of slightly over the hill in terms of the pop culture, had slipped into something of a slump. Huh. Handy's own company had really gone down. He had become very sick, gone blind, and was really just barely holding on. And then people like Bessie Smith started to pick up his songs and record them. Huh. And it marked a return to popularity that increased throughout the 1920s with a lot of recordings and then just, you know, grew and grew and grew.
We want to listen to a song that was written in 1920 and it's become a jazz standard. This is Ann Hager's Children's Blues. He's referring to Hager from the Bible in the book of Genesis, Abraham's wife Sarah, unable to bear children, so she presented him with Hagar, her slave, and with Abraham, Hagar had Ishmael. Let's listen. Told us that this is Ann Hager as both symbolic mother of African Americans, embodiment of black womanhood. I mean, it's just reminding us that, you know, this man was becoming, as you said, a popular figure, a cultural figure in a country that was still incredibly racist. Some of us, when we think of him, we think of the picture of him in his jaunty hat, I think it was, on, you know, on his music sheets. But how was he treated and viewed in this country?
His experience with racism in the South was bad, but not nearly as bad as some people. In Memphis, he was regarded as a good local band leader, and then when he put out Memphis Blues, which you know, was named for his city, he began to become more accepted locally. People liked the advertising. Then in 1918, he moves to New York, and he can't even rent a desk, let alone an office, because the people there in Tin Pan Alley really don't understand quite what he's doing. The Ann Hager symbolism, you know, the idea of the kind of downtrodden or despised slave who becomes the vessel of the higher-ranking people's family and genetic line is kind of interesting, but the words are interesting for another reason. He didn't write them, and they're often not sung. They're written by Lieutenant Tim Brim, who had been a black band leader with the U.S. forces in World War I in Europe. And Brim's words are a little arcane historically today because he refers to things having to do with our boys have just come home, meaning, you know, they want to hear some good jive music now and dance. So it's a very interesting piece.
Well, he couldn't get a desk in New York at one time, but now W.C. Handy is going to be celebrated in New York. Elliot Hurwit is the music historian and program consultant for the New York Festival of Song, the annual series of musical performances, which spotlight the art of song and songwriter. And this year's concert, W.C. Handy and the Birth of the Blues, will link you up to everything you need to know at hereandnow.org. But Elliot, thank you so much for just reminding us of the wealth of music here. Thank you.
And thank you.
That means in Creole, sing them low.
It's here.